Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, the GAA is a big part of Irish life. We know this. I mean, what else could do this to Marty Morrissey?
Donald Donovan is the left cornerback. He hits it. He hits it. What? It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses. What a match.
And it has an international reach, doesn't it?
We have listeners, well, not here in Ireland, but three TCD students studying Chinese, Mandarin in Taipei and Taiwan. Could we say in Chinese, ni hao ma, that means kundasatato in Chinese.
Oh, mi hao, good man. But it's a lot more than big days at Croke Park. And Ivan Ní Chuilín of RT Sport has managed to get it all into the great Irish book of Gaelic games. I can't believe you managed to do it, but you did. Hello.
Hello, Jen. Thank you. Neither can I, to be honest.
What an achievement. How do you think the GAA has kept itself at the centre of Irish life?
I think because it is the centre of Irish life. So every community that you go into, and even the intro that I wrote for the book was all about driving around Ireland when I used to go to matches all the time to be on the sideline. I'd always try and find the set of posts sticking up out of the village to see, oh, there's the GAA pitch, there's the GAA pitch, because it is at the centre of every community. Mm. And I don't think that it is exclusive either. I think it's a very inclusive type of community. So, you know, you can join having not played at all, or you can join having been a diehard all your life. And actually, that was kind of the ethos of the book. That's, I wanted to keep that in mind as well, writing the book, because I wanted to invite people who had nothing to do with Gaelic games to actually open a page and learn something, but also people who are completely and utterly invested in the sport to open a page and go, oh, actually, I never knew that about Offaly.
Even though it is based on the idea of saving Irish culture, has the GAA done better than other sports for inclusivity? You said there, because, you know, everybody, like, you could be on the pitch with your work colleague, can't you? But inclusivity is a big part of the GAA.
It is, and it's not just the GAA. As we know, there are more than just that organisation. We have the Camogie Association, the LGFA, mm-hmm. and that's why the book isn't called The Great Irish Book of GAA, because we wanted to make sure that we were including all of, you know, the women and all of the other organisations like Rounders and GAA Handball and whatever else. But yeah, the inclusivity thing is really, really important. And I'll give you two examples. I recently took up Gaelic football. I never played Gaelic football. Like in the last 12 months.
Good on you.
Yeah, I turned 42 today and I picked
Happy
up
birthday.
Gaelic
it is
football
birthday today.
At 41.
She's a Halloween baby.
I'm a Halloween baby.
So, and you're, I picked 42 up years young, and you decided
to pick up Gaelic football because, again, one of the initiatives around the country at the moment is, have you heard of Gaa for Maas?
No.
Gaelic football for mothers and others. So we set up
a
team.
I want to hear more about
it. We set up a team in our local club. My kids are outside here and they're playing for Jude's in Dublin, and we set up a team a year ago, and it's all the mammies from the club who have raised all the kids that are playing for the club, who've washed all the jerseys, made all the sambos, drove them to training for years, and now it's our turn. So we're actually going to play at Blitz in New York in 2 weeks' time. So yeah, we can sign you up. Marie Crowe's on the team as well, so we can totally sign you up.
I'd be
come
too afraid.
Wednesday nights, 8
her.
O'clock, they're in bed. Off we go. Training, in inverted commas.
You're
but
off
again,
to New York.
We're off to New York to play a Blitz with 1,300 other women. Can you imagine?
That sounds like
crack?
Mad crack.
It's going to be insane. But no, the inclusivity thing you bring up is really important. And then another example, my son Shamie plays for the 2012 boys. And a couple of years ago, a little boy called Tim moved here because he was from Ukraine, and he was, you know, he moved to Ireland and he had obviously no friends, no family here. And he's been completely enveloped by the community, and he's playing with the 2012 boys, and they won a trophy during the summer, and he's
good
a great little Gaelic footballer.
Good.
So there you
him.
Go. Like, you can come to it late in life, or you can come to it early in life, but there's always a place for people in Gaelic games.
Tell us about the Go Games.
Yeah, well, like, Go Games is, geez, it's basically how all of the organisations decided to streamline and manage the games for kids at, you know, at certain age categories. So my daughter Peggy is playing under 8, and this was her first year at Go Games. And then you go all the way up to under 11 at Go Games as well. And then you move into Graden Games the following year. But basically, it's a different set of rules. It's, you know, technically it's non-competitive. You're not really supposed to register who mm-hmm. wins or anything like that. It's all about just making sure that the kids are enjoying themselves and picking up all the skills as they go. Simple things like, a goal is worth 1 point, whereas a point is worth 3 points. So you try and encourage the kids to get the ball over the bar and to lift the ball and encourage them to do that. And would you believe, Jen, mothers and others follow the Go Games rules. So the matches are nice and short and non-competitive, and it's all about fun.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. And you're going to New York. I mean, you have me at New York. Can we talk about the nicknames, Ivan, for a second? Because there's fellas called like Nudie and Bubbles and all kind of all sorts. Do you have a favourite? Do you have a favourite nickname?
That's a good question. Do I have a
Have you got yourself a nickname or any of the ladies on the team?
I am not aware of any nicknames that I have been called in the past. What is my favourite nickname? I do like Banty.
Banty?
Yeah, Banty's a good one. Gooch is another good one.
Gooch.
There's so many of them though, Jen.
There's so many. There's too many to talk about right now. You mentioned, let's talk about the women's sports because it has been supercharged in recent years and away from the GAA. You worked on the FIFA Women's World Cup and you have a young one, Peggy, outside who is she eight?
Mm-hmm.
She's eight. How important is visibility like this for keeping girls in sports? Because we've talked about it on the show quite often about how, you know, they get to 12, 13, 14, tend to drop out. So how important is that visibility?
It's so important because they can see a pathway now. Mm. So I think when we were growing up, we had the likes of Sonia O'Sullivan, and it didn't matter what sport you were in, she was your legend. She was the person that you looked up to, even if you didn't have an athletics club in your area. We knew that there was an Irish person making waves on the world stage. But we didn't always have the visibility of the athletes who were doing it week in, week out, like the Downey twins who were featured in the book. Like, they were playing camogie for Kilkenny for years, and they were two of the best players to ever play the game, and they didn't have the visibility. So all of the other sports had legends at that time, but we just didn't really know enough about them. People weren't writing books about them, people weren't putting them in television programmes, they weren't making headlines in the newspapers, even though they should have been.
Yeah.
So I think the visibility piece is the most important thing, and the fact the matches are on telly.
It's huge.
No, it's enormous. It's absolutely enormous. Like, Mary Earps's jersey was brought out after the World Cup and it sold out, I actually don't know, but within minutes. Like, all of the printed jerseys, she's the England goalkeeper, mm-hmm. All of the jerseys that they printed for this season, they sold out, like, definitely within a day, I think.
Would have never happened.
No,
10 years
they
ago?
Wouldn't have made them, Jen. Yeah. They didn't used to make women's jerseys. You couldn't get them in the shops. So that's the difference. So the kids are turning on the telly and they're seeing that, oh, right, okay, I can be a superstar. I can be a footballer.
Speaking of camogie, I have to ask you, why did there used to be two crossbars in camogie?
I don't like that there were, because to me, it kind of punishes the girls for getting the ball so high over the bar. So there used to be. So mm-hmm. you have your ordinary H-shaped yeah. goalpost and the one crossbar. Years ago, there used to be another crossbar higher up. And if it went, you had to get it in between the two, basically. So if the ball went too far over the second one, you were penalised, which I think is ridiculous. So anyway, that's gone.
Okay, well, that's good news. Now, you mentioned this earlier, rounders. Talk to me. I would have been very good at this. What is the official version of rounders and where is this played?
Well, it's played everywhere.
Is it?
Yeah, it's played everywhere. And actually, it's the only Gaelic game that's mixed gender.
Great.
So all the teams, it's men and women. And it's very, there are All-Ireland Championships in rounders, which I didn't even know till I started writing this book and researching it. I was talking to the Rounders Association about this. But there are clubs dotted around the country. There's actually one near enough to where I live in Dublin 8, and there's a club there and they have won, I think they've won, this is Kevin's in town, I think they've won a few titles, All-Ireland. I'm going to say All-Ireland's, but I'm not 100% sure. But actually a teacher texted me or messaged me on Instagram there recently saying, oh my God, I've been playing rounders with my kids at lunchtime every day. I'm definitely not following the right rules. Because you know the way you rock up and you stand in the four play and you throw the ball around and you run after each other and try and get to the bases. And we all do it. I coach Peggy's team as well. And we play a game of rounders during camogie sometimes just to get them to strike the ball as far as they can.
Brilliant.
But sure, we're probably not following the right rules. But who cares?
Who cares?
They're having fun.
Tell me about Hurloween just to finish up.
So that's a festival in America, which is actually quite a recent thing. I don't think anybody's heard of it. I certainly hadn't heard about it before I started looking into things about the book. I was trying to give people an idea of just how widespread Gaelic Games is and how far it's travelled around the world and all of the clubs around the world. And I'll definitely, Jen, report back after New York and just let you know exactly how good the crack is over there.
So when
but Hurloween is where they dress up as, you know,
whatever.
Yeah, and play a hurling tournament. So they call it Hurloween.
When are you off to New York?
The 10th of November.
Soon.
And we're playing a blitz in Gaelic Park, which I actually can't believe they're letting us in. We're playing a proper blitz in Gaelic Park on the 12th.
And friends and family can go and watch?
No, they can't. No, they can't. No, we're not bringing anyone but ourselves. So we have 40 women going from our club, and I'd say you're talking maybe 100 children left behind.
Yeah. They can fend for themselves.
They can.
Ivan, thank you so much for coming in. The Great Irish Book of Gaelic Games by Ivan Ní Chuilín is out now. I'm sure they can get it on Amazon, all good bookshops and Easton's
everywhere.
And everywhere. There we go. Go and grab it.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.